back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. I'm Jeffrey Riley. The tight housing situation in much of the region creates some real issues in hiring people from out of the area to take jobs here because homes are expensive in many towns, often out of proportion to salaries. Ashland School District is taking a major step in moving toward building housing for its workers, and the project is picking up momentum with the recent announcement of a grant from All Care Health to help the process along. We have reps from two of the partners involved with the creation of the Ashland Housing. Julie Akins is the Senior Director of Housing at All Care Health and the former mayor of Ashland as well. Julie Akins, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Good to have you. Julie joins us on the phone. In the studio with me is Krista Palmer, the Executive Director of the Sunstone Housing Collaborative. Welcome, Krista.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So talk about the issue with housing for educators in Ashland.
We have identified a significant general lack of housing that is affordable for folks within the workforce. We conducted a survey of the Ashland School District employees, and we found from that survey, approximately 23 of the staff live outside of Ashland, would prefer to live in Ashland, but are having a difficult time finding something that they can afford with their salary. Also, another 31% or 31 members of Ashland School District staff live inside Ashland, but definitely would support and benefit from more affordable housing.
All right, so definitely some burdens on the people who are working for the district now. Was Sunstone Housing Collaborative created for just this project?
Yeah, so what started as an initiative by the Ashland School District to address the decrease in enrollment, as well as recognizing the lack of affordable housing in the area, Sunstone Housing Collaborative has been established to support the educational mission of Ashland School District, and also identifying the needs from the associated housing production strategy presented by the city of Ashland. And so combining those two things, and we were researching other school districts in primarily California that have kind of set the stage for these sorts of projects, and came to the conclusion that the development of a nonprofit organization to handle this process of research and identifying best practices and fundraising would be the best way to move forward with this.
So it sounds like you have some examples to follow. It's not that you have something off the shelf instead of having to create this from a whole cloth.
Correct. And while every project is going to be different, depending on the land availability and funding availability, yes, we did draw from several other school districts, primarily in California, that have been supported. The California School Board Association, the UC Berkeley Center for Cities and Schools, and the UCLA City Lab have really worked together to establish a model that we have taken a lot of information from.
Well, there's a side point here that I hadn't considered before, and you were talking about the decrease in enrollment in Ashland schools, and this can potentially address that too, assuming that you get people moving to town to take jobs at the district who also have kids who will then be in the district.
Correct. It all works together in this ecosystem of the city, in that if there are not affordable places for families to live, the district is going to see a decrease in enrollment. So, one thing that we are really focusing on with this housing is providing places for both families and school staff to live.
We're talking about the project in Ashland to build housing, affordable housing for people who will work for the school district, and as we hear as well, to bring children with them as well. Krista Palmer is the Executive Director of Sunstone Housing Collaborative. Julie Akins is the Senior Director of Housing at All Care Health, and you can join the conversation with emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I'm sure I've asked you this before, Julie, but how long has All Care been directing attention and money to housing?
Oh, many years now. I want to say around 8 years, ever since we started examining the social determinants of health. because, as you know, we're a coordinated care organization, a CCO, and a healthcare company owned by physicians. And we started seeing the poor health outcomes of people who were unhoused or precariously housed. And so we really put our, you know, we really put our back into trying to solve this problem. And we were pretty excited when we saw what the Ashland School Board was doing in terms of recognizing this and trying to provide family for housing for low-income families, because we know that's a huge pinch point for folks. And we also understood when they said it was affecting their enrollment, because as good as our school district is, if you can't afford to live here, it's hard to attend the schools. So I thought, you know, it was a pretty genius idea, and brought it back to AllCare, and everyone wrapped their arms around it. We were happy to be part of the funding stream for it.
Which is $177,500?
It is.
I always puzzle about grant amounts and how you arrive at them.
I know. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? What this comes from is something called share dollars, and I don't want to get all bureaucratic about it, but CCOs have this opportunity at the end of the year to take a percentage of what they earn, and it's really part of the governor's strategy and has been part of our mandate as a CCO to take this percentage and go out in the community and do additional good with it. And so we focused on projects that were brick-and-mortar housing, because that's something that we can't typically fund through our traditional Medicaid dollars. Mm-hmm. So this was an opportunity to actually put some, you know, shovels in the dirt and build housing. And we gave away in excess of $2 million to do these various projects. And this was one that we were really excited about based on its innovation and its possibility of becoming the way that we do business in Oregon. We were pretty excited to see the school district innovating in this way, and just wanted to jump right in and support it.
It's an interesting point you bring up, though, that while an argument can certainly be made and has been about housing as a determinant of health, the fact is you do have some limits on how you can spend the Medicaid money you get from the state of Oregon.
It's true. I mean, because Medicaid is passed through from the federal government, we operate on something called an 1115 waiver in Oregon, and several other states do, and more are doing this every day, because we're trying to address all the factors that contribute to health. And it's really, we have found through our research and through my own personal research for a long, long time, as you know, Jeffrey, we found that it's really not possible to have optimum health or even really good health if you don't have a place to live, because you never get a full night's sleep. Your nutrition is severely lacking because you can't have a good organic home-cooked meal. And people on Medicaid, on OHP, and on food stamps or the trail card, they can't buy prepared food. So there's really lots of barriers to good health. They walk roughly 10 miles a day trying to seek services with a heavy backpack, with everything they own in excess of 20 pounds. And this has deleterious impacts on their feet, their back. Everything about the living organism is not enhanced by being unhoused. And so we really just don't want our members to suffer like that. And we want our members to be healthy and productive and part of society and included at the table of wealth that many of us enjoy. So this is something that we really, really got behind with a lot of enthusiasm. In fact, AllCare was the first place in Oregon that actually had somebody who was a housing director and started looking at our overall strategy around housing. And that was someone named Sam Engel, who is currently the executive director of Rogue Retreat. Mm-hmm. And when he left, I jumped in, and now I'm doing it.
Julie Akins is the senior director of housing at AllCare Health, which provided a grant $177,500 to this project. And Ashland Sunstone Housing Collaborative is involved, with Krista Palmer as the executive director of Sunstone and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. And we have an email question from looks like Noelle in Ashland, who asks, will the housing project that you're creating house just staff and their families, or will it be open to low-income housing for families that don't work in the district but attend the schools? Also, what are the plans for where the housing would be located? Thank you, says Noelle, and thank you, Noelle.
Thank you, Noelle. That's a great question. So our plan for this new housing development is for it to be upon a parcel of land that's right in the middle of Ashland, across the street from the high school, Civic Center on Mountain and Main. It's a parcel of land that the school district currently owns.
So there's a baseball field on it now or something?
Correct, mm-hmm. Yes. So it's in a great location, proximal to public transportation, walkable to the schools that children would go to when they live there. Our goal for this property is to have mixed income, so housing for folks that are in the 80% and below AMI, and for the 80% to 120 AMI.
Area median income.
Yes, correct. Sorry. And then also to have rental and potential purchase options, affordable purchase options. And yes, Noelle, for staff and for families that are wanting to live in Ashland and send their kids to this great school district. And that is our goal, to create a really cohesive, integrated community for anyone that wants to live in Ashland.
So some renting, some owning, you're saying?
That's the goal, yes.
Okay. Are there any long-term covenants envisioned to require the places to stay affordable?
Yes. So that is one of the things that we're requiring of potential developers that we work with. You know, we're still in the beginning stages of writing the RFP. We will be releasing it in the next few months, we hope. And as part of the stipulation for being a developer on this land is that there have to be those covenants written in with the purchase of the land and the financing mechanisms by which the developers are paying for it.
And what, do you have a total number of units envisioned at this point?
We are hoping for a range of 65 or 80, all the way. It has a potential of around 100.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, altogether. And then once ground is broken, and I know you're a long way from that, what's the projection for completion? Or will it be opened in phases, for that matter?
That's a really good question. We will have more details about that as we receive respondents from the RFP process. A lot of it depends on what the financing mechanisms are, what the developers who respond are able to do. You know, one of the functions of Sunstone here is that we understand that oftentimes the cost of land can be prohibitive for especially nonprofit developers. And so we are in the process of raising money to potentially offset the price of the land, because when this land does sell, that revenue will go toward capital improvements for the school district. So it really is benefiting everyone involved. It's just a matter of figuring out what shape those puzzle pieces are and how they fit together.
You do have other grants in hand in addition to the one from AllCare, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, the city of Ashland has generously given us two grants and one provisional CDBG grant in the event that we require that. You know, they're, because of the nature of that grant,
it's a federal community development block grant.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so there are more stipulations on that, but we've got it there if we end up needing it.
So you got a bunch of steps ahead of you. Clearly, what's the optimistic, or for that matter, the pessimistic timelines on getting started and completion?
We would love to break ground sometime mid 2025. That is a very optimistic, but you know what? We got to set our goals where we would like them to be, and then hopefully the right pieces will fall into place.
Julie Akins, in about 30 seconds, can we talk more broadly about housing needs in the two counties you serve? I mean, we've seen the numbers about hundreds of thousands of units needed in Oregon. It's not going to happen overnight, obviously, but can we make a dent, do you think, in the next 5 years?
I absolutely think we can make a dent, and we are, and we actually serve three counties. We have Jackson, Josephine, and Curry County. Mm-hmm. And we do believe that we are making dents. We are really proud of the governor and the state legislature and some of the things they're handing down, where they are not making parking a premium thing anymore, but actually units that are important, developments around building multifamily housing where single-family housing used to be, developments around funding that are coming down the pike, lots of money to help get buildings started on the ground, and we're funding a lot of those projects and feel very optimistic. Of course, you know, you don't solve the problem of homelessness, which is a housing problem, unless you meet it at scale. And we're a bit away from scale, but I really do believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have a pretty good handle on this. Right. In the state of Oregon, because we are aggressively working to solve this problem. And I could not be more pleased with the school district and Sunstone for the work they're doing in innovating this and in recognizing the problem.
Julie Akins, Old Care Health, Krista Palmer, Sunstone Housing Collaborative. Thank you both so much. This is JPR.
Thank you.
Thank you.